Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 4. We started this little series last Sunday night. Deal with the subject a little bit more tonight. The title for the series is For His Pleasures, found right there in verse 11 of chapter 4 of Revelation. We looked at last Sunday night some things that does not please the Lord, does not bring Him pleasure. And we said that the goal of this study was to try to point out some things that does bring Him pleasure and try to deal with them one at a time. So we'll look at one tonight. I want to deal with the subject that brings God's pleasure, as that is that we live righteous. Amen. That we live righteous. Revelation chapter 4. Look in verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and they did what? Worshipped Him. I think it all do us good to worship the Lord. The devil tried to get the Lord to worship him. He said, "You bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these things." And it's only the Lord God that we to worship, and He's to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And so they gather around the throne. This is the picture in heaven that's taking place after the rapture of the church has taken place. In verse number 1, John's writing about those things in the future, and he sees these 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne. And we know who's on the throne, and that's God Almighty, the one that deserves all worship, amen, that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy." Amen. That's God. He's worthy. Amen. "O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things." Everything that is in existence comes from God. He is the creator of it all. Amen. The Bible said, "And for Thy pleasure, they are," what? All things. Everything. For Thy pleasure, they are and were created. God created this world for His pleasure. God put man on this earth for His pleasure. Now we know there was a fall with the angels and Lucifer, and we know there was a fall with mankind, but it does not change the fact that God created all things for His pleasure. They are and were created. And our lives are to be here for His pleasure. If there's any question why you are on earth, that is answered right there in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are here. Now, you might do a lot of things, and you might have a lot of different callings on your life and the different avenues of the way that the Lord can use you in this work of God. But the main goal, the main objective for your life. You say, "Well, I'm called to preach, teach Sunday school. I'm called to be a prayer warrior. I'm called to do this. I'm called to do that. I'm called to raise children. I'm called to disciple others." Amen. Hey, you might be called in any of these areas, but it all boils down to you are here for His pleasure. And if you miss that right there, you've missed why God put you on earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Timmy, how about pray for us tonight? Amen. Sometime after Sunday night we left, my wife said, "You know what that Romans 4:11 is, don't you? Revelation 4:11. She said, "That's the 411. Anybody ever heard the 411? That is for, the 411 is what you dial for relevant information or the truth. That's the 411 right there, amen. You are created for God's pleasure. Amen. What is pleasure? Pleasure is the gratification of the senses or of the mind. That's kind of hard to wrap your mind around the Lord, God being a spirit, and they which worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But God took on upon Him a robe of flesh. We know that God is the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all things that's being worshipped here. And He had some senses, amen. He could sense things. And you think about the Lord with His pleasure up in heaven. Him to be gratified by His senses or His mind. Amen. Our lives ought to gratify the senses and the mind of God. Now that's hard to wrap your mind around when you think about God. But it would mean some gratification to Him. It also means the excitement, the relinquish of the relentless happiness produced by enjoyment or the expectation of good opposed to pain. We're to bring God pleasure. Just to kind of wrap your mind around the fact of how we ought to give God pleasure. Hey, think about why the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth, speaking back to the Father which is in heaven. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ's job was? It was to do the will of the Father. It was to please the Father. It was to bring gratification or pleasure to the Father by the way He lived His life. Somebody said the simple way of bringing pleasure to God is the fact that we are here to put a smile on God's face. When the God up in heaven looks down at our lives, we are to bring such pleasure to Him, such sense of gratification to His life, but then when He sees our lives, it causes Him to smile. Now, you can think about that, and you can relate to that if you've got children. Or grandchildren. And they do something that's good. You know what that is? It gives a gratification to you. It excites the senses in you. And usually it is shown by a way of smile on your face. When they do something, you're like, man, that just brings me pleasure. Amen. That brings enjoyment or gratification to my senses. Amen. Hey, the Heavenly Father up above is looking down at His children. Behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And as God's children, we are to bring pleasure to our Father which is in heaven. We're to put a smile on His face. Jesus Christ done this to the Father. Look in Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. Pleasure. Well, how did the Lord Jesus Christ bring pleasure to the Father? By fulfilling all righteousness. Amen. Amen. To live righteous is to put pleasure to God's senses, if you will. It's to put a smile on God's face. Matthew chapter 3. Jesus Christ has come down to John the Baptist to be baptized. To fulfill all righteousness. Amen. And He goes down to him. He says, suffer it to be so. And He said that in verse 15. And Jesus answered and said to him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then He suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know what the Father said about the Son? He brings me pleasure. He puts a smile on my face. Amen. If somebody done it to God, it was God the Son. And He done it by fulfilling righteousness, by doing what God had called Him to do. And it brought pleasure back to the Father. Look in Matthew chapter 12, in verse 18. You'll find this three times in the book of Matthew where He says this. He is here to bring pleasure to the Father. Matthew 12, in verse 18. The Bible says this, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is what? Well pleased. But the Father is well pleased with the Son. Amen. I will put my Spirit upon him and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Amen. Look in Matthew chapter number 17 on the Mountain of Transfiguration. When the Lord was transfigured in all His glory. And those three disciples were there that we spoke about this morning, Peter, James, and John. And they went up in that mountain and saw him in his glory. And they saw Moses and Elijah there. And they said, hey, let us build some tabernacles and stay here while we kind of enjoy in this. Matthew 17 verse 5. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hey, the Father was pleased with the Son. When the Father looks down at our lives, it should be just like God the Son. Our lives are to please the Father. They're to bring pleasure to him and put a smile back on our Father's face. Just as our children put a smile on our faces, we should put one on our Heavenly Father's face. Look in Job chapter 22. We'll look at this thought tonight. Hey, how do you bring pleasure to God? We're going to look at this tonight by living a righteous life. Now, what does the word righteous mean? It means to do right. Righteousness. Boy, wasn't that hard to figure out. And to get a great big dictionary to look it up. Righteousness, to do right. And God the Father expects us to do right. And when God the Father looks down at our lives and we do right, it makes him smile. Look at this. Look at Job 22. Look in verse number 1. It's one of Job's friends that came to him, and he's kind of rebuking Job of his, you know, so-called self-righteousness in his life. And the Bible says in Job 22 in verse 1, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, so let me let this guy know a little something right here. Here's what he said to Job. He asked the question, can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? I mean, Eliphaz asks the question. You know, he's kind of rebuking Job, and we understand a little bit of Job's self-righteousness, how it plays out, and not trusting the Lord and for his righteousness, and a little bit starchy in his life. And Eliphaz kind of throws it at him like, can a man be profitable unto God? Can your life profit God? You know, some people say, no, you can't profit God. There's nothing good in you. And this is the throw off of Eliphaz to Job here, amen. Hey, Job, look at me, son. Can you bring profit to God? It's a question to ask. Verse 3 says, is it any pleasure? You know what the Bible said? We are put here for his pleasure. And Eliphaz said to Job, is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Can you answer me, Job? Is it any pleasure to God that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? And you think you understand the context of what's going on with Job's life and how these friends come up and ridicule Job and throw these questions at him. And sometimes you might ask yourself when they're asking the question, hey, is Eliphaz got a point here? Can a man be profitable to God? I mean, you ever ask yourself, can you profit God? Is there any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? I mean, we are created for his pleasure. And I'm telling you tonight that you can bring pleasure to God by your righteousness. But Eliphaz says, hey, you sure about that? Can you pleasure the Almighty that thou art righteous? Now, let me just clear a little air right here on the onset about righteousness. When it comes to salvation, Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. Hey, when it comes to your righteousness getting you to heaven, it will not bring you any profit to God, and it will not pleasure God, your self-righteousness, to enter in. It's kind of like Romans chapter number 10, where he says, you know, if thou confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. But if you back it up to the beginning of Romans chapter number 10, that these Jews had a problem that Paul was addressing, that they had gone about to establish their own righteousness and not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And to be saved, it's not to trust your righteousness, but to trust his righteousness. So, hey, surely, you know, maybe Eliphaz has a point on the fact that, hey, as far as you go into heaven, hey, none of your righteousness is no good. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Our righteousness can't save us. We know we need the imputed righteousness of God. We need God to give us His righteousness. It was Him that knew no sin. Hey, that He might be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of what? The Holy Ghost. It is not our righteousness that saves us. Paul went on to say in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And we know He didn't die in vain, amen. We know God's life wasn't wasted, amen. Hey, we need to be saved, and the only way we can be saved is by the righteousness of God. But all because we're saved by His righteousness, does that mean that none of our righteousness matters? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to Him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Yeah, that's kind of like over there the Bible says, you know, in the book of Romans, that some people get the mentality, well, if I'm saved by God's righteousness, it's all of God's goodness, amen. Well, why don't we just continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul kind of rebuked that thing out the gate. God forbid that we should continue in sin. Hey, God didn't save you to give you a license just to live a hellacious life. But at the same token, amen, there's nothing that you do that gets you to heaven. It's nothing that we can do to inherit the kingdom of God. It's by the new birth and salvation of the Lord that we're saved. Somebody said when it comes to salvation, you talk about the pleasing the Lord. What pleases the Lord in our salvation? You know what? When we think about salvation, you know what we did? We were selfish. You know what salvation did? It delivered me from hell. I mean, how'd God get glory out of that? God get glory out of me getting saved? God get glory out of me not going to hell? You know what God got glory out of? God got glory out of the fact that the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for my life was not in vain. Because I received His sacrifice, amen. He did not waste His blood. Now, God didn't waste a thing, amen. You understand that, amen. But it wasn't in vain. I like one brother said. He said, you know what? He used to pray that God save him from hell, save him to hell. That's a selfish prayer. He said, you know what I begin to pray? I begin to pray, God, You saved them because You shed Your blood for them, and I'd hate Your blood to be wasted on them, and You died so they might not go to hell. You've done it for them. It's an act of God, amen. Righteousness. But can a man bring pleasure to God if he's righteous? Could I say, number one, God likes it when you live right. I understand, you know, you can find the self-righteousness of Job in here a little bit through his book. But you know what? It was God that started the book off. Look back in Job chapter number one. I mean, what did the Lord say? When the Lord brought up Job, He brought him up. And you know what He brought up when He started talking about him? He started talking about how he lived right. Yeah. I mean, apparently the Lord got some kind of gratification out of the fact that he was doing right, not living like hell. Amen. But Eliphaz says, hey man, can you bring any pleasure to God because you're righteous? You think you kind of getting God's attention because you're doing right? Well, you better bet your bottom dollar is, amen, he got God's attention because he lived right. Job 1 and 8, the Bible says this. Here's what the Lord said unto Satan. Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Is there any pleasure in Job being righteous? Well, the Lord thought something of it. He brought it up to the devil. To check this one out. You don't think the Father looked down and the devil with all his accusations being the accuser of the brother, that the Lord didn't like the fact that he could throw somebody up in the devil's face and say, check him out, he follows me. Hey, he puts a smile on my face. He fears God, he obscureth the evil, check him out. You know what the accuser of the brethren said? He said, does Job fear God for naught? The only reason he does it, because you're good to him. Only reason he's serving. You know what? It might be a little bit of an old turn of motive in our lives. Amen. I'm serving the Lord because God saved me from hell and been good to me. The bottom line is we're to just serve Him because He created us to serve Him. God liked that he lived right. Hold your place here in Job and look in Proverbs 27. Well, you don't have to hold your place. Look in Proverbs 27. Psalms and Proverbs. Amen. Did God like the fact that Job lived right? I believe he did, because he threw it up to the devil. Considered my servant. Amen. Check him out. He puts a smile on my place. He pleases me. Proverbs 27 and verse 11, the Bible says this, "My son, be wise. Make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth me." You see that? He said, "Make my heart glad that I may what? Answer him that reproacheth me." You know, it's kind of a throwback at the devil, the accuser of the brethren. And the father says, "Hey, my son, be wise, make my heart glad. Hey, do right so when the accuser comes up, I can throw you back in his face." Amen. Kind of like when you look at your children and they do right, you know what it does? It pleasures your heart that they made the right decision. That they didn't do that thing, you know, and you kind of sit back and watch them sometime and wonder what they're going to do when they make the right move. Boy, you can't slap the smile off your face. It's like the Lord looking down at Job and said, "Hey, can check him out, devil. Amen. You've been accusing all my creation. Check out this one right here." And the devil doesn't give up. He throws back at the Lord again. Amen. God likes it when we live right. God liked it so much that he threw it up into Satan's face. Said, "Check out this one." Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. You know what God would love? God would love to see you and me that are saved by the good grace of God, that have the imputed righteousness of God, live out our lives in such a fashion by the help and power of the Holy Ghost and his work in us, and lean into his spirit and not the flesh, that the Lord might be able to be like Job in our lives and say, "Hey, check out that one down there. Check out that one down there in 2020 with all the chaos going on in Hamlet and Rockingham and how they live for me. Check out that one down there at the job site where everybody's fornicating and living like hell and cussing like a sailor, and how they just go through the motions and pray and trust me and hand out gospel tracts and being a witness. Check that one out right there. Ain't all of them down at the bar stool this morning. Ain't everybody at the lake out there fishing on Sunday morning. Ain't some down at the house of God still worshiping me. Ain't still some that want to bring pleasure to my lives. How about check that one out?" Believe it brings pleasure to the Lord. Eliphaz threw it up like, "Hey man, can your righteousness bring pleasure to God?" You better believe it can. God thought enough of it to throw it in the devil's face. And God's still looking for people to throw in the devil's face. And the devil, all he's doing is trying to accuse him before the Lord daily. Read over to the book of Revelation, that accuser of the brother. You think the devil don't want to throw it up in the Lord's face? Say, check out what they've done. You know what, when the Lord hears those stories, I'm sure when you think about the Lord in that sense, where we bring pleasure to his life, I'm sure his heart gets a little bit broken. But boy, he likes to look down and see what they overcame and done the right thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look in verse number 5. The Bible says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased." Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and he's using the example of the children of Israel going through the wilderness. And they drank of that same spiritual rock, and that spiritual rock was Christ, verse 4. How God providentially delivered them from Egypt and been good to them and led them through the wilderness. But many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You know what he says? Many of them. He didn't say all of them he wasn't pleased with. They were some of them that had done it right. Hey, some of them that followed the Lord. Now these were our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. You know what Lord wants to do? Learn from them out there. Hey, God wasn't pleased with every one of them. Some of them died off in the wilderness. Hey, but some of them didn't. And we're to learn from that example that God is pleased when we do right. God don't want to overthrow you in the wilderness. Hey, God, rather you suffer for well-doing than the evil-doing. Amen. That doesn't mean you won't suffer. Amen. But if you are, God, rather you suffer for doing right than doing wrong. Amen. God wants to be pleased with your life. God wants pleasure out of your life when you live right. And it still pays to do right. The Bible says, look at the examples he gives in verse 7. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. He said, there's an example. You don't want to be like that. That ain't going to bring pleasure to God. You think you're going to please the Lord when you're out there being idolaters and eating and drinking and playing? Hey, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. And they ain't bringing pleasure to God when God's having to destroy them because of all the wicked life they're living. God wants to have pleasure in their life. God wants to be pleased with their lives. God don't want to see them mumbling and grumbling and complaining. That ain't bringing pleasure to God. I don't want to see them living in fornication and drunkenness and partying and hell raising and idolatry. That ain't pleasing God. But God's pleased when you do right. God's pleased when you don't worship those idols. And you live away from fornication and save your life with the right one and do it the right way. The Bible said, neither mumber ye, as some of them also mumbered, verse 10, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition unto the whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. They have no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. You know what God wants out of his people, amen? To flee from the wickedness of this world. God saved us that we might live a life that might please him, that our lives might put a smile on his face. We were created for his pleasure. God gave us life on this earth. And when you accept his son, that pleased God the Father. Hey, you put a smile on God's face today. Do you turn from your wickedness to a holy God to save your soul? And when you live that life out in your life, God looks down and says, hey, that's my beloved son, if you will, and whom I'm well pleased. Hey, fulfilling all righteousness, they're doing it right, and they're living right, and staying away from wickedness. I've got pleasure in their life. And he can look at the devil and say, have you considered them? What pleases the Father? What puts a smile on his face? It's when God's people that are born again live out the righteousness that God has put in them. Look in Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Are we pleasing the Lord with our lives? Are we living in such a fashion that our lives are living in a righteous way that God is well pleased? Is your life putting a smile on God's face or a frown? Colossians 1 and 9. I mean, think about it. If your family knew what you was doing, would mom and daddy be pleased? All of us tonight that profess to be saved, God the Father knows it all. See, nobody's seeing a thing. The most important one's looking. And the question is tonight, by the way you live, right or wrong, is it putting a smile or a frown on his face? Colossians 1 and 9, he says, for this cause also, we also, since the day we heard of it. Paul's speaking to these Colossians. He's writing about what he heard about them. He said, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul had a prayer for these believers. What was his prayer? Amen. That you might be filled with that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding. Why? Why do I need knowledge and wisdom and understanding? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all what? Pleasing. That your life might come with such an understanding of wisdom and knowledge and spiritual things that you'd walk, fulfill that life worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that the Lord might be pleased, being filled with in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It is God's desire that above the wickedness of this old stinking world, where there's darkness, amen, in verse 13, and powers of darkness working, that we might be delivered out by the kingdom of His Son and live a life that's worthy and pleasing unto Him, that it might put a smile on God's face. That was Paul's prayer. You know, I think about Paul's prayer for the believers. A lot of prayers Paul wrote to the believers. I'm very interested. Brother James hit on it the other day in one of his Sunday school lessons. It kind of tricked my interest of the prayers that Paul prayed for each individual church. It was almost every one of the churches that he wrote to. He started off with some type of prayer for those people. And it's a desire that I looked at it as the man of God having for those churches, and kind of a desire that me as a pastor ought to have towards the people that God's put into me. And a prayer and a burden that we ought to have for others. And I think about Paul over here, and he kind of, this passage over here of him praying for them that they might walk worthy and please the Lord, it draws my attention and mind back to 3 John 4, where John's writing over there, and John said, I have no greater joy. What gives John joy than to hear that my children walk in truth? Now, he's not talking about his physical children. He's talking about, like Paul described, the believers that were under him that he had helped lead to the Lord as a spiritual father unto them. And it brought joy to John that when those he had led to the Lord walked in truth, it pleased him. It put a smile on John's face when he thought about Gaius and he thought about Demetrius. And sure, he didn't think that way when he thought about Diotrephes, but there was others that he thought about that, hey, they're walking right and doing right, and I've got joy in that. That brings pleasure to me. That puts a smile on my face to see him walk with God.
Amen.
And that same relationship we have of our Father which is in heaven, that, hey, our lives ought to live in such a righteous way that it pleases him, that it causes him to smile. Look in 1 John chapter 3. And that was Paul's desire, that these Colossians would live in such a fashion that their lives would please the Lord God Almighty. Do you have a desire that people would live and please God? Do we have a desire individually that our lives would please God? We are here for His pleasure. We are here to please Him and live in righteous. Pleases Him. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 22, the Bible said, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are what? Pleasing where? In His sight." You don't think He's looking? You don't think it pleases Him when we keep His commandments? Well, He surely did say it did. Keeping His commandments and walking worthy and staying faithful in the good works, it pleases God the Father. Amen. And we're to live in such a fashion till He comes back to get us in a way that we please Him. Please Him. Let me read you a couple of more passages. Look in Titus chapter 2. Titus 2. We're to please Him. We're to live righteous. We're to live in a way that God has saved us to live. We're not waste away the life God's given us. You know what? When I was lost without God, and you were lost without God, for the most part, we might have mustered up a little strength to do a little self-righteousness, but for the most part, man, we were in grips to the claws of sin and the flesh, and we just lived our lives contrary to God.
Amen.
If we did please the Lord or thought of an attempt to try to please Him, it was for some alternative motive, for some benefit on our part. But since God saved our souls and been so good to us to deliver us from hell and give us His righteousness, it's kind of like a no-brainer that, hey, you know what? My life belongs to Him. Body, soul, and spirit. I've been bought with a price. And the sooner I realize that I'm here for Him and not me, the better off I'm going to be and the more pleasure I'm going to bring Him. And a lot of God's people never get to the point to realize, hey, I am here for Him. I'm not here for me. I'm not here to promote my righteousness or my name or my agenda. I'm here to promote Him. I'm here to please Him. Titus 2 and 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works." Yes, God saved us from hell. Yes, God saved us from ourselves. But God saved us that He might purify some good works in us, that our lives might begin to bring pleasure to Him. "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We're not here to boast. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. God saved you that you'd live a life that would bring glory and honor and pleasure to Him. Yeah, righteous lives bring pleasure to God. He goes on to say in verse 15, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at this. Verse 1. "Furthermore," 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and" what? "Honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but in the holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who have also given unto us His Holy Spirit." Do you know what God done when He saved us? He imputed us His righteousness. We are going to heaven because of the righteousness of God. But if along the journey, until God takes us home, we're going to bring pleasure to God, we're going to have to live in a righteous way. And when God looks down, you know what's going to happen? It's kind of like this. As you live your life and I live my life, the devil's going to tempt. And the flesh is going to draw. And the world's going to pull. And every day, throughout our day and throughout our lives as Christians, we're drawn away of our own lust. And sin tries to entice us and tries to conceive in our lives. LSD, you know, lust, sin, and death. And it's trying to pull you. And every day the flesh pulls and the world pulls and we're tempted by the devil, we've got a choice to make to either give in or say no. And you know what God up in heaven is doing the whole time? He's watching it all. And He's watching you. And He's watching me. And when the flesh rises up to say, "Let's do this," and something pops up before your eyes, or something's whispered into your ear, or something's thrown at you to pull you away, the Father's looking down. And on the choice you make, He's either going to smile or frown. Your life's either going to bring pleasure or dishonor to Him. He's watching. Do you know what we get that kind of mentality of why we're left here behind and thinking about, "Hey, I'm here before Him and the decisions I make"? You know, the world's kind of put up, if you put it in a worldly sense, the world's kind of like this. If you post something on social media, you want to see how many likes you get. How many thumbs up, how many hearts or whatever. You know. And you kind of grade that thing on how good it was by how many hits were hit on it. I wonder if you kind of think about that in the worldly sense and relate that back to God the Father that's looking down from heaven at our lives. How many smiles we're going to get through this life? When the thing all boils down and it's all over with, we were put here for His pleasure. How many times when you had the temptation pulling you and the flesh was rising or the world or the devil was pulling at you to do wrong and God put you here to do right, that God say, hey, you got to smile that time. That's my son. That's my daughter. Look at him. Man, I'm so tickled. Man, I'm so pleased. Man, you couldn't make my heart bubble over no more the fact of how they're living. Now, that's a worldly illustration to try to understand a spiritual God. But when he looked down at the son, he said, that's my son whom I'm well pleased. And the Bible says that our lives can please him. Now, whether I can wrap my mind around that or not, I know for a fact the 411 is, the truth is, that we're put here for his pleasure. How many smiles you put on his face lately? How many times the Father looked down and said, hey, devil, check that one out. I know you gave me 100 the other day to look at, but how about look at this one? How about check her out? Look how she didn't give in. Look how she said no. Look how they withdraw themselves. Look how they watched that mouth. Look how they closed their eyes and turned the other way. Look how they lifted up in prayer and gave it to me instead of retaliating. Man, that makes me smile. When we're tempted to do wrong and choose to do right, God looks down and smiles. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Righteousness in our lives brings pleasure to God Almighty.